Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 7 of Less Talking, More Running, a podcast brought to you by Aycliffe Running Club. Now then, Paul, it's your turn to do this week's segment of Iconic Runners, Who Am I? So do you want to kick off with the first clue then, mate?
Yeah, no problem. Right, okay, so my first clue this week. Initially a respected 10,000-meter runner, this person is the fourth fastest British marathon runner of all time, behind Mo Farah, Steve Jones, and Callum Hawkins. He won the Houston Marathon, his first marathon, in 1984, by the thickness of a vest. There you go.
That's a big, I think a few people might get that one already. Sounds like a very iconic moment for an iconic runner.
We'll see.
Now on today's podcast, we've got some regular guests back on. We've got John and Tracy Surtees, and we've got Sue Milburn as well. So I'll come to you first, Sue. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Yes, I've scribbled down a few notes here, so I hope it's going to be okay for you.
Sue, honestly, I imagine you bring lots to the podcast. You're definitely one of my favourites we've had on so far. John, Tracy, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, all good.
Good, thanks, Corey. Yeah.
John, I'm good, mate. You've just made a return to racing, haven't you, with the podium 5K. Do you want to tell everyone how you got on?
Yeah. PB, which is never bad. So, yeah, happy with that, really. Kind of been doing the training over, you know, the period away from racing. So just really kind of focusing on 5K. But it was a good event, really good event. Nice to get back kind of racing and looked a little bit different, smaller races and a starting grid with kind of given the social distancing and stuff. But yeah, it was good to get back at it and, just tore the line again, you know.
You met some famous people over there.
Selfie
there as well, mate.
Yeah, selfie with Mark Scott, and then there was Jess George, and Beth Potter. There was a good few celebs out there, you know. So, but no, it was good to see good standard of kind of athletes going as well. So kind of some international runners, you know, just really good to see, yeah.
Well, congrats on the PB, mate. It's nice to see just a return to running in general. So that was good. On today's topic, we're going to be focusing on local races, past and present. So specifically the Northeast. We're going to talk about our favourite ones, our least favourite ones, the ones we found most challenging, and if any of the courses have changed over the years. So Sue, I'll come to you first. A simple question is, what's your favourite race you've done in the Northeast?
Right, probably, actually. I've got it down on my list here because I'm not sure of like how long it's going to take, how much time I've got. But what one of the ones that it's not running now, but there used to be a Gateshead 5K lunchtime run, and it started obviously from Gateshead Stadium, and it was a very fast course. And I don't quite know how I managed to do this, because obviously I was working full time, but I've somehow like managed to do it in my lunch hour. And Richard Harvey, who obviously you all know very well, he was really keen on these races, and Peter was still working shifts, so they were on a Wednesday lunchtime, so when he was on night shift, he must have got up early to meet me to go and do the race, then he'd come back home and go to bed. But this 5K series was the 5K races were really good because it was really competitive, and it helped me to get like to one of my fastest 5K times over like a series of doing them. So they were really, really good, and I'm sorry to see that they're not on anymore now.
When did they stop running then?
You remember, Peter, why they stopped? It might have been down to, I'm not sure, probably various reasons, but tell you what, they were really, really popular considering it was a Wednesday lunchtime and people travelled quite far away to come and do them.
Do you think it suited you running at lunchtime, maybe? I know for myself, I hate like for even the park runs at 9 o'clock in the morning, but maybe that's just because I'm young. I can't be able to get up that early.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got various excuses over the years of like things that I've loved, things I've hated. And so I couldn't say an excuse because it was too early or it was too late on an evening where, you know, maybe you hadn't had any tea and you were hungry and you felt tired. So the lunchtime was probably ideal. It maybe certainly suited me. And it must have suited Peter for him to get up out of bed off night shift.
Tracy, what about you? Have you got any favourite races in the North East?
Favourite races in general, I know you said like North East, but obviously we do a trek to some. So I probably prefer the Leeds Abbey Dash and the Leeds 10K in Dewsbury. Probably because of the course, they're pretty flat. You know yourself, you've done them. Or one of them, you're going out and it's slight incline, but then you're going back downhill on the way back, which was Dewsbury. I've always got a PB at that one. So
Yeah. That's
probably one of my favourites. And Fisk 10 Mile as well, like that one. Course is different. It's a nice course. It's pretty flat. So, yeah, they're probably one of my favourite ones.
Is Thirsk still based on the course, or is it just the fact that it's out in the countryside as well?
Yeah, I think it's probably because it's out in the countryside. You get a bit sick of like running around the same places, and Thirsk's a bit nicer. You get so used to running around Aycliffe, and you get Aycliffe Industrial Estate, so you go to Thirsk. It's a little bit nicer scenery.
Yes, definitely. They changed the dog leg this year. Was it this year they changed it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I probably preferred it this year because it was still a dog leg, but it's earlier on. So I think I quite like the fact that you got it over and done with. And then you finish that bit and you're pretty much just on your way home. So I quite like that.
Yeah. John, what about you, mate?
I think I probably quite like the Blade and Race, really. Just for a different... I haven't done it that much. I think I've only done it 3 or 4 times. But it's got a good atmosphere. I say it's pretty much downhill. Tracy says it's not, but I'm like, yeah, it is downhill. If you had to run it the other way around, you'd be like, that's a bloody uphill course, that.
it's 3 miles downhill down the Scotswood Road.
exactly. It is a downhill course.
Downhill, isn't it?
So, but I just like the kind of at the end, you get a good, a decent goodie bag. There's a bottle of beer in it. You know, there's pickled onions and black pudding to be had, and sandwich and crisps. And then, obviously, if you park in Newcastle, get the bus back up, you can always have a shandy bass in the town centre. And, yeah, it's always a good night. And I've been lucky enough, every time I've done it, it's always been, like, a really nice evening. So people have stuck around and kind of the atmosphere's been really good. Although it's kind of a bit of a, dare I say it, like a nothing distance, really, at kind of 5.67 miles or whatever it comes in at. You're never kind of running for a PB. But I think that's always kind of something that's nice about it. You're not going with the pressure of, oh, it's a 5 mile PB, I'm chasing a 10K or a 5K or whatever. It's kind of a blade and race course best, and it's always a crazy start, and you know, you're fighting for your place in the pen, and you know what I mean. So it's good, it's kind of unique, and being in the centre of Newcastle and the history that it brings with it and stuff, and the t-shirts are always quality. Yeah, so I think that's kind of one of my favourite races. It just tends to clash with some key 10Ks around that time as well.
I've just bought one. I can't believe I didn't think about it. Bridges of the Tyne.
Oh, you've pinched mine.
I love Bridges of the Tyne. It's awesome. Again, the goodie bag is great. Love the goodie bag. And you even get extras because there's always some left over. So there's
any. You're not supposed to tell Tracy.
So you always get extra
that.
Chocolate bars at the end as well. And then the t-shirt always fits because I have a problem with the t-shirts never fitting, but the Bridges of the Tyne t-shirt always fits. And then people have a drink and have pizza afterwards at the pub. So yeah, good atmosphere. I completely can't believe I forgot, but that's definitely one of my favourites.
I haven't done either of them. They were both on my list this year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but definitely next year.
Yeah, definitely, Corey. If you get a sunny night as well, Bridges of the Tyne is great afterwards because everyone does hang around and have a drink.
What's the distance for the Bridges of the Tyne?
Five miles.
Bang on 5, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fast, 5 miles as well. Wouldn't say it's as fast as Hartlepool Marina because it's a little bit in and out-y of, you know, some barriers and that kind of... little bit twisty turny, but it's still a quick 5 miler.
I was hoping that no one was going to mention the Bridges of the Tyne, because that's the one I was going to say. I mean,
it's favorites,
sorry?
Tracy had four favourites. She had Leeds 10K, Leeds Abbey Dash, and then she went and put in Bridges of the Tyne at the end. You know what I mean?
I'm sure she mentioned Thirsk as well, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a page and a half of races, so we might not get through them all.
Yeah. We'll give it a good try, though, Sue.
I was going to go for the Bridges of the Tyne, because it's a relatively new race. I think it's only been on the go for 8 or 9 years now, but I have run in every single one of them, and I do thoroughly enjoy it. And I would echo what Tracy and John have said. It's a fantastic atmosphere beforehand and afterwards. It is a quick 5 miler, as John mentions. There's a few little inlets that you have to go in and out of, a bit of street furniture to avoid. And then the drunks outside the picture and piano and on the way back as well. but it's generally a fantastic race. One I think that we'll probably come back to at some point anyway is obviously the Great North Run. I've done that a few times. Always enjoy that. It's a fantastic atmosphere, that one. But I'm going to pitch, before John and Tracy pinch it, the Yorkshire Coast 10K at Scarborough in October. I've done that one a few times and I love that race. The T-shirts are always brilliant. A couple of years ago, they introduced some medals and they've always been good as well. And my PB stands there. So it's always a good race for that reason alone. So, but it's flat out and back. It's great.
Yeah, I did it for the first time last year. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I made a rookie error. So I stayed over the night before and then obviously the night after with some friends. And the night before, it's like chucking it down. And I was looking at the weather and I was thinking, it's just going to be awful. It's going to be raining, it's going to be windy, and we're having a few drinks, so I had a few more and a few more. I woke up hungover and the weather wasn't that bad, so I still gave it a good go. I got decent time for what I was capable of, but I was thinking, just leave the drink to one side. Bad mistake. But I still, yeah, the whole weekend at Scarborough, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and yeah, definitely one to return to.
Did you join in the karaoke, Corey?
Yes. I had to think about that. Did I? Yes, I did. We did like some. I didn't do any solos because I'm awful at singing. But I did some group songs. Honestly, I can't remember what I sang, so don't even ask me that. So we've talked about our favourite races. Let's flip it and talk about the ones we find maybe most challenging, or ones that we feel like we have to do because we might be in the championship, or we're collecting points for whatever it is. So I'll come back to you, Sue. Have you got any courses that you find quite challenging that you feel like, absolutely, I don't really want to do, but I have to do?
I've got a few, yeah. But there's also, like, if we've got time, I want to talk about, like, another series that was run that was in Newton Aycliffe that's quite famous. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think for toughness then... I think they're still running now, or there was a Cleveland midweek series. Now, these were obviously on Wednesday evenings, and I'm going back in time, obviously, when Peter and I used to run them, and a lot of Mick Brunskill and Rob Nicholson and John Burnside did a few, and other people. But these, honestly, they were really challenging mini fell races. And I've been looking through my book, because obviously you've got to remember I'm old fashioned, so I've got two books here. That one's full of races and the prizes that I've won. And this is another one. So there's, like, you know, when I first started in 1992, that's when I started running. In 1993, I ran 40 races and I'd only just started really running. So the number of races in comparison to, like, what I've done recently is ridiculous. But anyway, this Cleveland midweek series, I was looking through my notes because I used to make notes, like, next to every race. Was it easy, hard, blah, blah. So there's one here I've said was very, very tough, and it was a Clearbank West. So I've said it had big climbs. It must have just been like climbing all the way. And I think probably like hands on knees, you know, where you're like climbing to get up. But they were all, none of them were easy. And at the end, obviously, you've got like beer or wine if you'd done well. Tell you what, it was very competitive. They were like quite scary. I used to get like knots in my stomach before going to St. Peter. I can't do this. It's too hilly. Because obviously coming from Newton Aycliffe where it's flat. But anyway, yeah. And there was some like real steep, if you've climbed up a lot, you can imagine like coming back down again. And some of the terrain was like heather bashing and really, really tough running. You did well to keep your flipping shoes on half the time. So that was I would say they were like real challenging runs. And you see the difference with like the people who were like ran on, trained on the fells, like North York Moors Club. From like us, you know, we tried our hardest and I think we did pretty well, to be honest.
Did you win any of the alcohol or the prizes at the end?
Did I win anything? I can't remember. Maybe once or twice, not very often, because the competition was too tough. But it was really, really good. And then obviously you'd go to the pub afterwards and it was always late at night by the time you got home. But, you know, you used to hate the thought of running it. And once you'd done it, you think, oh, I'm really pleased with that. I've got some training in.
What were the typical distances for those races?
4 miles.
4 miles.
You're in oxygen debt when you first started. Often you think, blimey, I'm going to have 4 miles of this, which doesn't seem long, but you can imagine, like, on hills, it was tough. Well, there were character building, apparently.
I'm sure it was. You just mentioned about some A-Cliff series. Do you want to elaborate a bit more on that, Sue?
I think, like, some of you might know this. It's just a little bit of history. Going back to, I think these races probably started in the late 80s, but from my point of view, from the early 90s, there was a guy called Chris White. Have some of you been familiar with his name by any of our club members mentioning him?
Yeah, I think, was it John Burnside and Rob on the previous
Rob. They're like mentioning him. Yeah, well, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris was like notorious in the running world, and I think, I can't remember what year it was, but he used to have the Northern Runner shop up in Newcastle with Charlie Stead. But anyway, he was a larger than life character, certainly like bordering on the eccentric. And he set up the Lamplight 5 Winter Series, and he registered at the complex. And the race started from Husqvarna, and it was 5 miles. So it was like all left turns from Husqvarna down the bank, and it was 3 3/4 laps. Now, just to like put in context how competitive these races were, there was some four names I'm going to mention who were like really like notorious, excellent runners. So there was Mike McLeod, Charlie Spedding. They were two males and then two females. One was Jill Hunter and Kirsty Wade. She was like an 800-meter track specialist. So the competition was like, you know, right up there, basically. And honestly, people used to come from not just the Northeast, from all over to run these races from the complex. And the conditions, sometimes it would be frosty, snowy, icy, pouring down. It didn't deter anybody at all. And again, I was like a bit nervous, like taking part in these, thinking, well, I'm not good enough to run these races. But over time, you know, I did them regularly and they were very good speed races to get you faster. And I think the fastest one I did it in like 6:16 pace, which was very fast for me. So interesting about these races, I think people came obviously to do the race, which was famous. But the prize giving was just as famous as the race, because Chris was absolutely crazy. And his presentation went on and on and on. Anyway, his prizes consisted of old cotton long sleeve T-shirts from out of date races that were like extra large, or, you know, nobody fitted into these T-shirts hardly. And then he'd have like CDs from magazines and massage oil, two coloured gloves, and it was a joke, really, as prizes. And yeah, water bottles. I think I got like a wonder towel. But what the hell do I need to do with a wonder towel? It was so funny. And like, because we lived near, I'm sure we'd like be half cut by the time we came back, by the time this presentation had gone on and on and on. And it was just absolutely a crazy guy. Obviously very, very, very good at what he did. Because yeah, people just Lamplight 5. And Mick Brunskill, you know, if you ask him and Rob and John, like Mick Brunskill, he was really competitive in it. And in fact, everybody was. Colin Gibson, Peter. That's just to name a few.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about it before. I've heard about it before. And I've only been involved in running for the last 2.5 years or something.
Even now, like, you might see, it might not, but there's still a lot of people who are still wear the old cotton T-shirts, and you might see somebody, particularly in the wintertime, with a long sleeve Lamplight 5 T-shirt on. So if you do see anybody, you know, they've been running for a long time.
Yeah, I might see if I could get any of the members who have them post onto our Facebook page to get them share and see what it's all about.
We'll have to have a look. Yeah, we might have cleared ours out.
And I'll come to you, mate. Most challenging race you've ever done?
No, I don't think it's particularly challenging in terms of the course, but it's just one where kind of maybe it's my own personal thing where I have a bit of a mental block on it. And the great races in terms and the club and I think it's Graham Hall who puts them on, like, does a great job in terms of series and stuff like that. But for me, they do the Mermaid 10K, and then they do, help us out with the name of the other one.
It used to be the Victorian, but it's the Everyone Active now.
Everyone Active, yeah. 10K, and it's just that course. When I first kind of got into the club and started racing, I was doing that. I entered it because it was a flat, 10K, and kind of wasn't too far to go. But then, there's a couple of times I've done it, and the conditions, or you're kind of running and you get caught by yourself, and you've got that second loop at the top to do, and you've done that first loop, and you're like, oh, I need to stop now. I've had a couple of really bad runs there, and after the last time, I think I don't think I've ever dropped out of a race, but I dropped out of that, and I got to about 4 miles and just stopped, and I just walked back to the car. Talks on the way home, I just kind of get my head around it, really. So I've never done it since, but that is probably, if you said go and run a fast time on that, John, I think I'd be really struggling. So not the normal answer, big hills or whatever, or rough terrain. It's pretty flat. Well, it's flat as you get, really, but just I kind of get my head around it.
I think you have to be lucky with the wind on that one, because obviously, it comes off the sea. I don't think I've ever ran the Mermaid or the Victorian when it's never been windy. And likewise with the 5Ks they put on the Wednesday night, they're always windy as well. So,
yeah. I don't mind if I'm getting to the 5Ks, because I'm like, it's once you've done one lap, you're like, oh, I haven't even got a lap to go now, and I can get my head around that. And I always can manage to motivate myself for that. But the 10K, I don't think I'll ever do it again.
I have to tell Andy Talbot to put in the club championship next year then.
Yeah, it's definitely the flat repetitive ones. If your mind goes into like wondering or into any negative thoughts on your performance, it can get quite tough. Where sometimes if you've got hills to focus on, you focus on the peak, and then you've got the downhill, and that might be a bit easier. Is it easy for you, John? I don't know. I'm just...
I do love the flat courses, as you know, and kind of... the Dewsbury's, the Leeds 10Ks, the Leeds Abbey Dash, where you're kind of running out, it's flat, you're running back. You can't really get any more repetitive than that, really. But it's just something about that gets me. It's a sucker, so yeah.
It's like Redcar Half is awful. Absolutely.
Don't tell me about Redcar Half. Oh.
Like to run out, to come back, and then have to run out somewhere else and run back again. That when we did that one, I was like, never ever again. I'll never ever again. It was awful. And I remember like getting to the second part where you have to run out and run back again, and looking at everybody running back already and just being like, I can't even do this. Just like, I just need to finish this now. It was brutal.
Any more, Tracy, apart from the red?
A list of another five.
Sorry, guys. That wasn't even on my list. I just thought of that. But challenging, I would have said Ravenstone Dale for me, because it's just hills after hill. I mean, the first time I did it, it was okay. I kind of went for the crack, really. We got a bus there. Everyone was doing the race, then we'd get drunk in the pub afterwards. I thought, what's not to like? But then the second time we got a minibus there and it was absolutely pelting it down, it was chucking it down, it was gale force winds. We sat outside the pub in the minibus and it's getting battered with rain and it's going from side to side because the wind's hitting it. And I'm just like, why are we doing this? I thought, if somebody says to me, do you want to just go to the pub and skip the race? I'll be there. I'll go in that pub and skip the race. And then we did, obviously we did go out and we eventually did the race and it was so flooded. I was just like, oh my God, this is not what I signed up for. I'm a road racer, like a road runner. Don't do this. But yeah, we finished that and went to the pub afterwards and the pub was good crack and the food was good, but never been back since.
I remember that year. I remember the year the way it was flooded on about 8 occasions, obviously throughout the race or whatever. I think I was running in about 4th place and we were approaching the first sort of like big flooded section. And I was thinking, oh, what do we do now? Do we just nip up the grass verge and just sort of like gingerly make our way around it? And then the first place, second place, third place, and I just ploughed straight through the middle. I thought, that's what I'm supposed to do. So I just followed suit and then ran for about another 9K with wet feet, but it was all right.
I know, and it was like a long trek through water, wasn't it? It wasn't just like a little section.
No. Each stretch was a good sort of like 20 feet along and you sort of like were splashing. It was a bit like that Home House 5K earlier this year where we had it. That was all flooded as well, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. But no more, that's it. Just two this time.
I've got a fun. I don't know if it quite qualifies as Northeast. Is Ripon close enough? The Guy Fawkes 10. I don't know if anybody's done that one previously.
I've done that a few times.
Have you done that one, Sue?
Yeah, it's had different routes, Paul, over the years. But
Right. The one that I've done is you've got the three hills that they actually have a name for them. They've got the Burstwith Brute, the Swincliffe Swine, and then 8 miles for Fawkes' sake. I have to say, it's the only race I think I've ever walked. I walked a little bit of the Burstwith Brute because I completely misjudged it. I went off like a blooming, I don't know, whatever, you know, blue-assed, whatever. and then got to Burstwith Brute at about 4 mile, and I got halfway up it and was like, no, I can't even run anymore. that was a tough race. It was a tough race. But it's a good goodie bag on that one, just chocolate. Pretty much chocolate.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Did you enjoy that one, Sue?
Yeah, that was good. I think, you know, I was running well, like it was a good one to do. It wasn't flat, like Paul said, it was had a few hills in it.
I'll come to you, Tracy. What do you think of, well, you mentioned it already with first races in the countryside. I don't know if you've done many of them and if you just enjoyed them for what they are. I think they can be hilly.
God, I'm trying to think. I think it's the only first that I can think of off the top of my head. But to be fair, I've done well at the first ones, but I don't think I like them because I've done well. I do genuinely like the course. I think it's just nice to get out there and run somewhere different. Because as you know, we do a lot of like the normal roads, like Mask and the Leeds one and the Dewsbury, and it's like the same old, whereas first just to give you something a little bit different. But can you think of any that we've done, like?
Richmond 10K, Richmond Castle. Is it Richmond Castle 10K is quite a good one?
To be fair, I did like that one as well. And that's not a quick course. That's hilly and a hilly finish. But, I like ones like that, I guess, because especially Richmond, because you're just turning up to kind of do it and enjoy it. You're not going to get a great time because hills isn't something that we really run when you live in Aycliffe. So I think I quite like turning up to ones like that and just giving it a go rather than putting that pressure on yourself.
I was just going to say, if we're talking country roads and things like that, I don't think you can beat Snake Lane at Pocklington. I really like the Snake Lane 10 at Pocklington. And going back to the goodie bag issue, you used to get a lovely, nice thrown mug from the Snake Lane 10. Unfortunately they don't do them anymore. They do t-shirts and medals, which seems to be the norm, but I used to love getting the mug from the Snake Lane 10. And also randomly I did the Burton Leonard 10k one time and I got a boiled egg in my gunny bag. I have no idea why, but I suppose it gives you protein after your run.
Oh, that would have made me a bit sick.
Then it was part of that Black Sheep series, wasn't it, the Burton Leonard?
It probably had Kirby Malzard as well, but they don't do the Kirby Malzard race anymore, I think.
That was really good. One that still still quite popular now. It was the Gisborne Moors fell race of 12.5 miles. I think it's usually on about April time. Anyway, over the years, I ran it a number of times, and, you know, it was all Rob Nicholson used to like it. And anyway, in 2006, I think I'd got about 2 or 3 miles into this race and I had a bad fall. But anyway, I must have had like 3/4 bottoms on because it must have been quite cool this day. And I carried on running. Anyway, at the end, I mean, obviously I was like struggling towards the end. And when I stopped, there was no like the first aid. I must have taken longer time. The first aid had gone. Although maybe it wasn't any first aid there. I'm not sure. But anyway, when I pulled my trousers up, my leg had doubled in size. God, how I managed to carry on, I don't know. But I had to go to hospital. But anyway, that is a great one, usually, for the countryside. And obviously, you go up to, you could do a little Ayrton on that one. Little Ayrton and Captain Cook's and Rosebery Topping, sorry, on that one. So, what was a hanging stone? It's a challenging run, but how the hell I ran with a leg that was like swelling up, I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of like memories from people in the club, like John and Rob, particularly. I'll tell you, like, there's been some like tough conditions on that race, but generally the scenery is lovely.
Oh, I can imagine focus on fell races, they can be challenging, but the scenery you get out of it can be amazing. Now, I've just been reminded I've just had a notification from my producer. We're going to do the second clue of the iconic runners, who am I segment. So, Paul?
All right, the second clue, obviously, the first one mentioned this runner's first marathon win at the Houston Marathon in 1984, but also this runner won the London Marathon in 1984 and won a bronze medal for Great Britain in the marathon at the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles.
Cross country, the North Yorkshire, South Durham in particular, those races can be quite challenging, I find. Whitby in particular, I've done it twice, and I think I've nearly cried twice at the end. I don't know if you guys have done it, but you've mentioned earlier climbing on your hands and knees. I remember you have to do in the Whitby cross country race, literally getting up that steep little incline, getting on your hands and knees.
Doesn't one of them have a rope or something that you have to pull on? I'm sure someone mentioned last year that there was a rope that they kind of put there to help you get up.
I think that's Summerhill.
No, it's also Whitby, Paul. They did, if in bad conditions, it's literally really bad. They do have a rope that you can pull yourself up on.
Yeah.
If it's dry, you don't need it. But if it's really boggy, you need that rope to get up.
Throwing out a question to you guys. What's your favourite cross country race out of that series? Tracy.
Oh, God, I never know. Shouldn't have asked me, Corey. I never know the names of any of them. I just turn up and hope for the best.
All right. Well, I've just made a quick list. I've got Whitby. I've got Fox Rush, which is at Redcar. We've got Acklam. We had one recently at Preston Park, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. I don't like Acklam. That's like, I don't know. That's quite hard, that one. I think that's one of the first ones I did.
Acklam's all right.
Was that the one you turned up?
Acklam's all right.
No, that's Eagley Heads.
Eagley Heads. I see, this is what I'm like, Corey. I don't remember.
This is what I've got to live with. This is what I put with on a daily basis. You lot can sit there and laugh.
I'm always like to John, what was that one again where you do so-and-so, so-and-so? And he's like, no, man, Tracy, that's the wrong one. Eagley Heads, that one.
That's
like
not
that
in the
one.
NYSD, though.
I know, but I don't like it.
Yeah. NYSD.
We'll throw the Harrier Leagues in there as well. We'll combine them all. I don't know.
Preston Park one, I feel like that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I think that one's okay. I like that
one. Yeah.
They used to have in the NYSD league Summerhill Hartlepool. That was really good, and again, like, depending on the conditions, it could be really tough, but I don't think it's in the series now.
Wasn't it not due to come back this year?
I think possibly it was. I think that they might have got some permission to hold it again, but it's a really good course, like challenging.
I remember now, it was meant to be last year, but I think it got postponed for whatever reason, and then they replaced it with, they did Acklam again.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
on. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't think we can get the centre.
Yes, that's it, yeah. John, what about you, mate? Cross country, what have you got to say about that? I'm sure you enjoy that.
John in cross country.
We'll do it. We're wasting time about talking about it, so. No. Cross country is a really valuable part of your winter training and building your base. And absolutely quality summer. Everyone should and must do cross country. I think for me, Acklin is pretty good because you kind of got a couple of laps, but you've kind of got a little bit of up and down. You've got a little bit of like a woodland trail section. Where I nearly kind of wiped out on a tree a couple of times. That was like a sharp turn, and you think if you lose your foot and go and head first into a tree. But there's a couple of little climbs in it. But yeah, that's been all right. And to be fair, the first time I did it, the conditions were really good as well. So it was good underfoot, which obviously suits me, which is a bonus. I'm not so good in the mud.
I just want to put something out there. I've heard this quoted many times. I've never done this race, but I've heard this say, I survived Sedgefield.
Oh my God.
Does anyone want to elaborate
on that? Yes.
I think it's cross country, yes.
I was going to ask Tracy and John, was this the Northeastern was then?
Yeah. I think it's 2015, I think.
Yeah, I ran around with snow on my head.
I think we've got a club photo, haven't we, where we're like, the women. Obviously, in the Northeasterns, the men run first, which is very unfair. So by the time the women got to run, we were huddled in this tent. Remember, Tracy, when we were...
I do, yeah. How can I forget?
It was horrendous, wasn't it? And then what happened after this race, Corey, was that the snow got worse and worse. And anyway, everybody, like at the end, we were frozen stiff. I remember Peter running, trying to run to the car, and his hands were so frozen he could hardly, like open the car. I don't know what happened, but we had trouble, and it was treacherous driving conditions. It just came all of a sudden, didn't it?
Yeah,
it wasn't forecast. It was the night of the Christmas do as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was awful. I had at that point, because I've not really done cross country much, I wore magic gloves. Oh my God, my hands were so cold. Again, I couldn't move them, taking me cross country trainers off, and that it was awful. And then putting that down.
Yeah, I think I remember that. You couldn't undo your laces. You were so frozen.
Of course,
you just couldn't believe it. From in an hour or so, an hour and a half, what the conditions, how they'd changed.
Yeah,
it was a memorable one, wasn't it?
It was. I don't think I did cross country in a rush.
I always remember Mark Weir had a cracking run that year, and he ran it. Typical Mark, but he ran it in a vest, and that was like his vest and his shorts and a pair of, again, black magic gloves. And he finished, and I'd finished. I was well down on him and finished, and could have been you, Sue, actually. It said, oh, will you go and check on Mark? And he gone into some other team's tent, and he got in, and he was hunched over holding his hand. He's like, can't feel my fingers. And he was just the pain. And I was like, bloody hell,
It was brutal. When I look at photos and I've actually got snow on top of my head on the photos, I'm like, oh my God, it was so cold.
I ran in a cap that year because obviously with the snow and wearing glasses, I wanted to make sure that sort of my glasses weren't getting all sort of spittled out and everything. And I had a sort of the peak of the cap was just covered in snow by the end of it. Unbelievable conditions, it really was.
Proper cross country, I guess.
I've managed to dig out, and I know this is no good for the podcast, but we might be able to post a picture. That's the condition.
Ah, yes.
And there's Paul.
There you are, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I'll post that when I post the podcast then.
Yeah.
Can I mention a race? Just something that's not really dead funny, but can I just mention another one?
Yeah, go on.
It's not running anymore now, but there was a race on a Wednesday night. It was the Sunderland Vaux Old Pit Race 10K. And Peter and I went up with John Burnside, and it was, long before he'd met Jim and he was a bachelor. and he had a BMW. Anyway, so we did this race. It was a good race. But when we came back, somebody had nicked his BMW badge off his car, and he was like furious. He was like, absolutely furious. And like, we were like ecstatic. I think we must have run a good race or whatever. He said, right, that's it. I'm never coming here again. And he was like nearly in tears, honestly. So is it just a memorable one? Yes. So I just thought I'd give Tom Burnside a mention there.
Oh, lucky John.
Oh, John, his BMW badge. We've parked in some weird places as well over the years, you can imagine. You know, a lot of the races didn't have car parks. So it was just pot luck.
There's one big race we've not elaborated on, and that's the Great North Run, the biggest one in the Northeast. I've never done it personally. It's on my bucket list, but it's so hard to get into at this moment in time. But I just want to know how you guys feel about it. Is it worth it? Is it what it's all? Is it as big? Is it as fun as it's meant out to be?
Yeah, I've done it.
Quite a couple of times.
Yeah, three, possibly four times. I think around about that. Obviously, it's an amazing event, and I would kind of never discourage anyone from giving it a try. It obviously does some fantastic things for charity, and you know that it is amazing. Me personally, kind of for what I want out of it, I want to, you know, chase a fast time and ultimately like kind of a PB. So it's, unless you get a good starting position, then I think you probably struggle because of how busy it is. And again, it's a kind of a tough course. So yes, it's certainly worth giving it a go. It's a great experience. But for me, kind of with how difficult it is to get in, and I haven't tried for a lot of years, to be honest, Corey, to get back in, it's not one of those that I rush back to get it, you know, whether it's, I don't know how you get in now, but like some of the races, like, I don't know, the Brass Monkey or whatever, you know, goes online at 6 o'clock in the morning. You have to be there in a queue online, and then you go in and you kind of, you have to be there first thing or you don't get in. I wouldn't kind of go to that length to get into the Great North Run because I've done it, been there, and it's kind of not my cup of tea. But it is a great event. It's absolutely fantastic, and it does a huge amount of good.
Tracy?
Yeah, I probably agree with John, to be honest with you. Again, I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it. Again, it raises a lot of money for a lot of charities, so for that part, it is a good thing. But it's not something that I would put my name down or try to get. One of them ones where you do it for charity, I feel. It's not about time or position, it is to raise money. To sign up for it, you can't sign up for it to do a PB or a good time because they've all the crowds and all the people. It's more something that you go to enjoy. So yeah, it's not for me, but I think it's a good thing and it's a good idea.
Yeah. So what about you? What's your relationship with the Great North Run?
Yeah, it's a long time since I've run. I did it three times for charity, and I think after the third time, for me personally, I don't like the route itself. I think there's a lot more lovely scenic half marathons. However, I do understand that it's a famous race, and you do it for the experience, and the whole atmosphere is fantastic. You can't beat that. But I think now, my opinion is that there's a lot of people who walk it even from the start. And it's too congested. I just think it's like quite a chew. But I admire anybody, particularly like John Burnside, who's run it every year. And everybody who runs it, I admire them all because it's a long way, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Definitely not my favourite.
I think it's one of those that I think if you live in the Northeast and you're a runner, you've got to have a crack at it once just for the atmosphere. When I started running, I think I'd been running about 18 months and I was fortunate enough to get a spot, and I was in Wave B, Orange Wave B, which is just behind the sort of like good club runners and the elites and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, great, I'm quite high up here, really. But I started behind a pair of conjoined carrots. There's these two runners dressed as carrots holding hands in front of me. And it took me ages to negotiate my way around them at the start. But I was aiming for sub 130 and I ran 124. So I was actually over the moon. I then went back and did it, I think, for the next 4 years. And I was fortunate enough to get sort of like the good club runners places. So you start literally just behind the likes of Mo and sort of like Bekele and people like that in the good club runners pen. So you do get a good start. And I think in one of those years I finished 75th, which I was dead chuffed with. But no, I haven't done it for a few years. I don't necessarily feel the pull to go back and do it. I'll probably do it one day again, just for the sake of the atmosphere. But I think, as others have said, if you're wanting a quick time for a half marathon, there are obviously better half marathons to do. The only thing I would say is, I think, I'm sure they still do this, but the elite finishing line, they keep it open till 1 hour 20. So if you can do a half marathon in sub 80 minutes, you get to finish under the same stanchion as the elites do. After that, they close that off and then they open up four funnels that they funnel you off to the side on. And I think I've been fortunate enough to finish two or three times under the stanchion where all the elites have finished as well. So I've got good memories of the Great North Run. I've really enjoyed everyone I've probably done, but I think I've reached that saturation point or that exhaustion point of actually doing it.
Oh, well, very impressive. Finishing there under the same banner as Mo Farah. I think the big
question.
Bekele. Gary Slassie.
Teed that up nicely for me, going, oh, yeah, I finished in the same place.
I mean, John got a few selfies the other weekend. Did you manage to get any selfies, Paul?
No, I don't like to run with a camera or, you know, things like that. You know, it's just about the running for me. It's not about the celebrity stalking for me. It's just purely about the running.
Yeah.
Although we did see Eilish McColgan at the Trafford 10K earlier this year, didn't we? But none of us had the gumption to go up and actually speak to her.
Yeah.
We're talking t-shirts, running t-shirts we've got after races. I feel like I've got so many now, but I feel like I only wear the same like four or five maybe. I don't know if it's for you guys.
John just wears all mine.
Is that those tight girly fit ones, is it?
I think definitely the like Tracy, the ones that fit rather than like no shape at all and they're too long. So I would say trying to think. With the Peter, they have a good t-shirt that fitted. Peter, can you remember a t-shirt I've got that fits me better from a race?
Careful with your answer, mine, Peter.
Sorry.
Oh, yes. This sounds like a minefield. This, Peter, a minefield.
I haven't got many that fit really well, but I think certainly like the dry fit ones, maybe from... Ripon, did they give you them? I can't remember, honestly. I'm sorry about this. But I have got a lot of t-shirts. A lot of them have just been used as dusters, because remember, a lot of mine were cotton t-shirts. So they're long gone now. But the dry fit ones, a number of them are still there. But I've given lots away or used them as dusters.
As dusters.
Peter cleans his bike with them.
Oh god!
Well, that's Peter's work shirts. No, but a lot of my t-shirts I've been used to clean bikes.
I don't feel like you should have made that, Susan. not that I wear, but I liked my London one. It's just the usual problem. It didn't fit me. I like it. It's a nice t-shirt, nice design, and obviously something I'm quite proud of, but it just doesn't fit us. and then my Edinburgh Marathon t-shirt, that is probably Bridges of the Tyne, and Edinburgh Marathon t-shirt's probably the only ever t-shirts I've got that have fitted me. But I can't wear my Edinburgh one anymore because I think I did it in like 2014 and it states it on the back in a slightly faded version because it's been washed too much. So I can no longer wear that t-shirt.
The Dewsbury 10K one, we've been 2019 probably, it's black long sleeves. It's a long sleeve t-shirt that, you know, you can wear in the winter. You don't often get a long sleeve one. And it's got a decent design on the front. And I've got two because I've got Tracy's as well. So it's absolutely funny.
Did you do the 2018 Dewsbury race by any chance?
I was going to go back to the 2018 one.
Go on then, Paul. You can explain this one, not me.
Basically, they had a design on the front of it, which was the town clock and a couple of town halls, one either side. And it had almost the look of a clock and halls, if I can say that.
Yeah.
And it gained quite a lot of press exposure. And I actually tweeted about it being a clock and halls. And that was picked up by the Daily Mail and ran in their online version as well. So it was quite an obscene kind of like image, I suppose you could say. But they don't use that anymore, funnily enough.
The 2019 one that I was on about didn't have that on.
No. They changed it for some reason. Can't imagine why.
There is another T-shirt that's been quite good from the Ann Johnson race at Counton Bewley. Again, a little trail run.
Oh, they have some friends.
But them have been fluorescent, so they've been really useful, I must say. When we did come to the running club on the winter training nights, we could wear the fluorescent one and be seen very well. I thought that.
Oh, that sounds cool. John, you've got something to add? A little plug of some sort?
Yeah. No, I just want, because we're talking about racing and we talked about cross country, we've talked about hilly races, flat races, downhill races, but we haven't mentioned track racing. And I just thought, you know, kind of. And the track racing is something that I really kind of love. And I managed to twist Richard Campbell's arm last year after going on Edinburgh for about 3 years, I think. And he loved it and he came and he really enjoyed it. And last year, kind of late July, early August, Darling Harriers ran a mile night, graded 1 mile races up at Childon. And quite a few of the members got involved in them. Andy Talbot, Ian and Sam Baranowski were there, Donna and Richard went up. And it was a really good night, to be honest. And I think just my kind of perception of the NYSD League with the track races were that, you know, when you talk about track races, you're expecting kind of, you know, Mo Farah turning up and, you know, kind of you're going to finish last. But it's not like that at all. And there is a massive range of abilities and kind of, some of those 3K races, 1 mile races, 1500s, whatever they do, they kind of put a big program on, even the 5,000 meter races. They're really good at kind of bringing your speed on for those 5K races as well. And I just think, you know, maybe it's that perception of people thinking that it's going to be, you know, people lapping you or whatever, and there's a danger of, you know, finishing last or whatever, and it's not like that at all. And there's often a decent turnout when races are graded. So they haven't been obviously going on this season with kind of COVID-19, but next year I'm sure they'll make a return. I hope they do anyway, because it's certainly one of my favourite parts of the racing calendar. And it'd be good to see other members, you know, kind of going along, really cost effective. You know, I think it's £5, just kind of, and that gives you a number for all the meets, and you can do an 800 and a 400, a 100, you know, whatever you want on a night as well. You don't have to just do one race.
Shot put, long jump.
Yeah, high jump, javelin, discus, hammer. Yeah, you know, if you want, you can just be an absolute, you know, multi-event athlete. So, and they're all pretty local as well, so hopefully I'm selling them. But yeah, it would be, I think, some people who would enjoy them.
What did Mark do?
Oh yeah, Mark, we went one night to Darlington, and we said, right, we'll go and try the mile, and we, you know, we're both set on doing the mile, and then Mark goes, oh, I'm going to try the 200. And obviously,
like Mark would, yeah. This is crazy.
So they grade your times, and Mark had said, oh, I'd do such and such time, and it happened that Mark had got put in like the A race. With like all these lads, you know, built like brick outhouses with blocks, and then they started to start. And, so did that,
and then, got a trophy.
Well, he did the mile after that, and bless him, he didn't do as what he wanted in the mile, but then I was like, Mike, you haven't done what you wanted to do in the mile because you absolutely nailed 200 metres just before it, so I think that might have something to do with it. And then after that was the, I don't know if it was a 3K or the 5K steeplechase. there was, I think, three people entered into it.
No, there was four.
And there was four people entered into it. And basically, Mark had obviously done this on the back of doing 200 metres and then the mile. And it was the greatest finish ever I've seen to a race.
Who was he battling it out with?
It was him and Colin Taylor. So
Colin likes the steeplechase, yeah.
So I think Mark was basically in fourth place. And coming round off the last 200 metres, he had the last water jump. He fought back. Colin wasn't far in front of him, and as he went over the last water jump, Mark came into the water just as Colin did, and then it was an absolute fight
to
the 100 metre mark right at the bottom bend. And I just remember going crazy, and Mark just absolutely busted a gut to get it was a Northeastern Championship, so he basically became third top steeplechaser in the Northeast from doing this race. And he's got his Northeast medal, champions bronze medal around his neck next to the other two. So, and I think even the next year he got a specific email inviting him back to defend his third place crown. He's over the moon with that. But yeah, that was just another great track memory, you know. So if people want to get involved in those track memories, you know, next year I'll get Tracy to post on the Facebook about what it's all about and where they're all at. And,
I think got track captain there all over you, John. Track captain.
There's only me and Richard and Tracy that turned up, you know.
Yeah, so. Des won't come along anymore since you shredded his Achilles at the last one, did he?
I don't know what you're talking about, Paul. I think you're mistaken. I think he did that on a cross country race. So,
I think that Mr. Campbell sold him a dodgy pair of spikes and
something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's all
I would say. To back what John's saying, though, they are really good. They are good events. But when John says it's all the quick ones that turn up, they are quick. But it is a good event. But they do.
No, there's a range of abilities. No. There's fast. There's people who are going.
I know,
for
but
a good...
John, I got a PB and came last.
You got a PB, Tracy. Well done.
I came last.
That's what you. That's what you take away from it. You got a PB. You take away from it. You got a PB.
That was in the Northeast kind of Grand Prix, the Newcastle version, where the NYSD does have a good range of abilities. So please don't be put off by that. And it's not what Tracy said. She gets confused easily. So.
Paul, mate, do you want to finish off with the last clue for the iconic runners?
Can do. So clue three. Born in Bishop Auckland in 1952, this runner released an autobiography of his running career in 2009 entitled From Last to First.
Sue, were you right? Do you think you're right?
I could have been. Was that right, Peter? Yeah, I think I'm right.
Yeah, you are right, Sue. If you could see my bookshelf behind me, you'd actually see that the book's on there as well. But yes, Charlie Spedding. Was the answer.
Oh wow, that's what I'm saying. So when he came to the Lamplight Fives, you see, he was famous.
See, when you mentioned that earlier on, I was cursing when you said I was thinking, damn, Sue's mentioned who it is.
Gosh.
And for a bit of local knowledge, his mum and dad used to have the pharmacy in Firry Hill. And he was a he worked in the pharmacist, isn't he? And he worked in the pharmacy.
And he's released another book last year about diabetes and obesity as well, which I haven't got my hands on yet. But I think he is a qualified pharmacist himself as well. So
good.
It's a local one there as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a nice way to end it on. With the iconic runners, we've done a local legend, as we've been talking about local races. So nicely done there, Paul. Nicely thought out.
You think I put some thought into this thing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe. So thanks again for coming on, guys. Everyone's been brilliant with all the stories about the racing and t-shirts and goodie bags. It's been brilliant. We've done this might be our longest podcast today, but I think it's all been brilliant. So thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you.
No worries, Corey.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Bye. Bye.